all hidden. Good morning. How are we all doing? A bit chilly, a bit cold. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning as we come before you to look at your word. What a glorious hymn that we just sang. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And thank you, Lord God, that as we come before your word this morning, we pray that you'd help us. Holy Spirit, that you'd work this word in our hearts. And Lord, that we can trust in you more and more. And we can mature, grow in you. Help us, Father, through all this times and trying situations and circumstances, that we'll hold on to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we read from the scriptures, we'll be looking at this church in Smyrna. It's one of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. These letters are written to cities that existed in Roman province. And if you ask me, why are you looking at this church in particular? Because this is the only city that exists even today. So I thought, we'll look at it. So on the PowerPoint, we have the map of Smyrna in Turkey today. It shows us where it existed. So in the Roman times, Smyrna was considered one of the most brilliant cities of Asia Minor. It was famous for its schools of science and medicine. Smyrna was a city of great beauty and impressive architecture. It was a very wealthy city with a strong alliance to Rome as a superpower. Smyrna is only one of the seven cities mentioned in Revelation that still exists today, as I said earlier. And this is how it looks today in the next PowerPoint, that it's a modern city of Izmir. It's the third largest city and the second most popular seaport in Turkey today. And that's why it interested me in looking at this city that exists even today and how it existed during those early times as well. Around 80 AD, Ephesus and Smyrna became the center of Christianity under the leadership of the last surviving disciple of Jesus, Apostle John. This church was living in a hostile environment. This congregation was having its own share of problems and daily pressures. This letter to church at Smyrna is written to show us that Jesus, our Savior, knows and understands our troubles. And that the problems of and the pressures of life are in fact normal Christian way of life. Here's a great story. The church, this church of Smyrna, had a very famous person, a well-known pastor called Polycarp. Next slide, thanks. Polycarp was born in 69 AD, just when Apostle Paul and Peter were martyred in 67 AD. He was a disciple of John, who wrote the book of Revelation. He lived to be 86 years old. And for the second half of his life, he served as the bishop of Smyrna. Polycarp was very highly respected for his beliefs and convictions. And above all, he refused to bow to Emperor Caesar. So Polycarp was arrested and he was brought before the Roman military commander. Of all the people, the Jews were most demanding of Polycarp's condemnation. They even carried firewood on Sabbath day, breaking all the Sabbath laws especially when they were commanded on that day to cease from all work. That was their anger against Polycarp. I'll finish the story later. This church at Smyrna had a concern. The next PowerPoint. Had a concern. It had two commands and a promise. Its concern was its suffering. The word Smyrna in Hebrew, it means myrrh. It was a substance used as a perfume for the living and the dead. For example, myrrh was a gift by Magi for Jesus at his birth. On the cross, when Jesus was hanging, he was giving myrrh and vinegar. And when Jesus' body was put in the tomb, they brought myrrh for embalming. So this substance was used both for living and the dead. And its association with death perfectly pictures the suffering church at Smyrna. This substance, myrrh, is produced by crushing a sweet-smelling plant and allowed to dry to become a rocky kind of a substance. The church at Smyrna was crushed, just like this plant, by suffering. What were the causes of suffering? The next slide. The church in Smyrna faced suffering because of hardship, poverty, persecution, and betrayal. These were the causes of persecution that they faced. The suffering caused by daily hardship. The word used there for hardship is the Greek word klipsis. I like to say this word, klipsis. It was my favorite word when I was studying Greek in the Bible college. Probably because of the way the professor said it. It's a klipsis, it's a crushing one. You crush things, klipsis. So that always remained in my mind of the expression that he used. The next slide. It's a picture of a grinding stone where the grain was put in the middle and grounded into fine dust, into a flour. It's a strong term which does not refer to minor difficulties, but real hardships. It means to crush, to press together, to squash, to compress, like a grain being crushed in between these two layers of rock. It gives us a good understanding of what this church was going through, especially with the use of this word. It was a crushing experience that people in Smyrna was facing. The next slide. Suffering because of poverty. Verse 9. I know your afflictions and poverty. I know. What a fantastic word. This church was going through suffering and a crushing experience. And here is what God says. I know your afflictions and your poverty. What a tremendous blessing that is. When God knows the crushing experience the Christians were facing in Smyrna. And friends, let's take great encouragement. This morning, God says, I know your suffering. I know your hardships. I know the things you have to give up. The word used here gives us a glimpse of what poverty was like for Christians in Smyrna. It meant absolute poverty, possessing absolutely nothing. When we were in Launceston in Tasmania, I used to go to a Christian organization called City Mission. And they used to provide meals almost every day. And then they're on Tuesdays, they would invite local public to come in and meet with some of the homeless people as we had lunch. And I was sitting at this table and having lunch with a few of the homeless people, and I met this guy who had tattoos all over and earrings and rings on his lips and eyebrows and all that. And he said, "Oh my, I'm the scum of the earth." So I told him, I said, "Look, you have no idea what the scum of the earth is." And this is the description I gave him, the next slide. Said, "Here in this country, we all can have food somewhere. But here is what it is I've seen in my own country in India, where people, children, on the rubbish tip, are fighting for a slice of bread with the pigs and dogs. And that is the scum of the earth." I told my friend, "Don't tell me. You've got money for cigarettes and all those things, and don't tell me you're a scum of the earth." Poverty is something, it's difficult for us to understand in the Western world. The next slide. Wealth and poverty exist side by side. That's what happens in India. You have big high-rise buildings and big mansions and next door to slums. You ask me why that happens, we'll have the discussion another day or after service. So Smyrna was a wealthy city. They had no food. They had no means whatsoever. There was poverty. And their poverty was most likely due to the faith in Christ Jesus. The next slide. So we find that they had sufferings because of daily hardships, suffering because of poverty, and suffering caused by persecution. The Roman emperor made it mandatory that all citizens should worship the emperor or face death. They had to do what Caesar commanded. All they had to do was to say, "Caesar is Lord." But many Christians refused to do so. So they were considered as unpatriotic, traitors, and people who did not love Rome. And because they refused to worship Caesar, they were tortured. Their homes and possessions were confiscated. Some were crucified, and others burned at stakes, and some were even fed to the hungry lions. Which, most of it is happening even today. A lot of Christians are being tortured. Their homes and possessions have been confiscated. And some are crucified. Well, some are killed. Life was hard for these Christians in Smyrna. Very few of us today can understand the kind of constant pressure the Christians faced. Another pressure they faced was from their very own people, the Jews. Verse 9. "I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews, but they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." God even knew that the Christians were being betrayed by their own people. He said, "I know about their slander." So encouraging for us, friends, even today when people slander Christians and make fun of them, God knows it. He knows those things. Smyrna was a home for a large Jewish community hostile to Christians. This caused great tensions between the Jews and the Christians, most of whom, of course, were Jews. The slanderous accusations by the Jews against Christians had led Christians to be persecuted by the Roman authorities. The Jews in Smyrna were using the influence and the presence to hurt the Christians. They daubed Christians in. This caused huge problems and persecutions for the church in Smyrna. So they endured all kinds of persecutions, poverty, ridicule from their very own people. This was a crushing experience for Christian, and this happened on a day-to-day basis. Must have been hard for these Christians in Smyrna, facing all kinds of difficulties and hardships. So how did God respond to the sufferings in Smyrna? And here's a good lesson that one must not miss. Here's what God said. Next slide. Verse 10. After all the suffering and hardships and difficulties that they're facing on day-to-day basis, this is what God said: you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. More suffering? It was only going to get worse. One has to look into the Roman history. Things got really worse after this. Why was there no promise to lift the pressure that the Christian faced? Why no promise to insulate them from such afflictions? Why? Why? I'm sure this Christian's mana must have asked God, God, why? Why is this happening to us? I'm sure we all ask these questions today. Why are we going through this? What is happening with me? Smyrna appears to be one of the most faithful of the seven churches. And we might think that God would reward them with some kind of a health, wealth and prosperity. But he never says to the church at Smyrna, just believe in me. Everything will get better. And I will give you an easy life. Just believe in me. Instead, Smyrna would be tested. Being a believer doesn't excuse us from troubles, problems, suffering, or even persecution. Don't listen to the garbage and people say, become a Christian, everything will be fine. In the midst of whatever comes our way, we are called to be faithful by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Be faithful. That was the message for Smyrna. Be faithful. Whatever comes your way. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the next slide, chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. That's not the end. Next slide. It goes on to say, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so, friends, let's keep our eyes on Him who has overcome this world. Jesus never promises to remove the trials in life. Rather, we would have peace in Him. And He promised to be with us in our struggles. These words of Jesus reaffirm the message to Smyrna. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, next slide, verse 10. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give your life as your victor's crown. So Jesus says to every church, to every Christian, to us here this morning, when life grinds you down, when you feel that you're going through the two sets of rock and you're being ground down, when the carpet is pulled under your feet and there's nothing for you to stand on, do not be afraid. Be faithful. God knows it's natural for us to let our circumstances overwhelm us and terrify us. He knows that regardless of the sources of our suffering and hardships, it is natural for us to doubt, to get discouraged, and to give up. God is very much aware of all the things that's going on in our lives, and He's not surprised by anything. Be faithful does not mean to grin it, to bear it, to suppress it, to push it way, way, way down. To be faithful means to trust in the one who holds your life. Because Jesus has gone through it on the cross. So it tells us not to be afraid. Be faithful, even if it leads to physical death. I will give your life your victor's crown. And James echoes these words too in James chapter 1, verse 12. Next slide. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. To those who love Him in the midst of trials. The difficulties we face can trip us up, can tempt us into doubt and despair. But blessed is a man who endures, as James suggests, who endures these trials and tribulations, because when he has passed the test, he will receive a magnificent crown of life, which our Lord God has promised to all who love Him. That was the same, that message, to the church at Smyrna. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Do not be afraid. This is what happened to the pastor, Polycarp. Next slide. On the 23rd February, 156 AD, a Roman governor tried to persuade Pastor Polycarp to change his mind. He said, "What harm is there in saying Caesar is Lord and offer sacrifice? Just say it. Just say those words and save yourself from death." The governor urged him harder. "Take an oath and I'll let you go. Curse Christ." And this is what Polycarp said. 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" Polycarp was tied to the stake. Fire was lit, and shortly thereafter, a soldier was ordered to stab Polycarp to death while the fire was being lit. Polycarp died a martyr's death, being faithful, even in death. Friends, sometimes we ask, does God really love us? Why do we have to suffer? How long? Does God understand our situations? And there are times when life goes bad for us, struggles of life grind us down. This letter from Jesus to the church of Smyrna was written to encourage us to think biblically about life's struggles, especially those struggles that come because of our Christian faith. Jesus is coming soon. He knows your troubles. He knows your daily crushing experience. And He says, "Do not be afraid. Be faithful." Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank You for this word this morning. Lord, it's such a struggle. It's so difficult. And You encourage us to be faithful and not to be afraid. Oh, God, it's so natural for us to be afraid, to be terrified. Help us, Lord God, that in You we might have peace. In You, and we can put our trust. Be with us, we pray. Whatever life throws at us, help us, O God, not to be afraid, to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.